Day 9, Monday, October 31st, Genesis 9. Genesis 9 1-29 NKJV. So God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Daily deep dive. Verse 1, this is the third time now in the Bible we see God blessed, and all three times is in conjunction with being able to reproduce and increase in numbers. First to birds and sea life, second to man and wife, and now to Noah and his sons. Verse 3, regarding whether this is the first time man is allowed to eat meat and were previously only vegetarians, I will include the UC.org BRP response. Some seize on this as proof that men were supposed to be vegetarians before the flood. However, Abel sacrificed an animal and, as Leviticus shows, parts of sacrifices were eaten. Moreover, the Apostle Paul later explained that some animals, those the Bible designates as clean, see Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, were created to be eaten, 1 Timothy 4:3-4. Indeed, we already saw the distinction drawn between clean and unclean, i.e., edible and inedible, animals before the flood in Genesis 7. Why would there have been a distinction at that time if animals were not then eaten? Thus it appears that God was simply telling Noah and his family that it was okay to eat animals again, which likely means they had not been permitted to kill any of the live animals on the ark in order to have eaten them while still aboard. Perhaps that would have depleted some species before they had a chance to amply multiply after the flood. Verse 4, we have the prohibition to eating blood. In Leviticus 17:11 we are told, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." It's very clear from this scripture that God had a special purpose for blood in connection with sin and atonement. Here early in the Bible, again, long before Mount Sinai, we see this command, and we see these commands such as the Sabbath, the holy days, the clean/unclean food laws, etc., already existed and formed the basis of God's royal law, James 2:8, that continues unchanging from the beginning to the end of mankind. We see this command reinforced to Gentile Christians, Act 15:20, 15:29, 21:25, and remains clearly in effect for us too, which gives rise often to the question about, can you eat a rare steak? The answer is yes, and not just because I love a good medium rare steak. Even though we use the term bloodly, the red liquid on your plate and the red/pink color of the meat is not due to blood. It's natural to think it is, but it's actually a combination of water and a protein called myoglobin. Myoglobin has the job to transport oxygen through your muscles. Myoglobin looks red on your plate, because like hemoglobin, the iron in myoglobin turns red when exposed to oxygen. The longer it's left out, the meat turns from red to brown. Supermarkets will actually treat meats at times in order to keep them red longer. So the long and short of it, even a completely rare steak, tartare, does not contain blood. Animals and fish should be bled after killing them in order for their blood to drain from their systems. V6 is a reminder to us of the value God places on every human being, because each and every one was made in God's image and has the potential to be family members. This knowledge must have an impact on how we deal with all people, even when they may be difficult or choosing a way of life that goes contrary to God's instructions. The UCG Bible reading program states the following about the rainbow: God also established a special covenant with man, promising never to send a universal deluge again. As a token, or sign, of the promise, God set the rainbow in the sky, verse 13. The Hebrew word translated set is Nathan, meaning give. This has led some to suggest that the rainbow had never been seen before. If this suggestion is true, it would mean that God either modified the laws of physics governing optics, for a rainbow is just the product of the refraction of light through the medium of airborne water droplets, or that he altered the atmosphere of the earth, perhaps by removing some kind of upper vapor canopy that formerly altered the character of the light reaching the earth's surface. Such a vapor canopy may help to explain the rain of 40 days and 40 nights when the windows of heaven were opened, Genesis 7:11-12. And this may have constituted the waters which were above the firmament in Genesis 1:7. And at the end of this chapter we see, even here early in the Noah family tree, one particular son and family line already go off the path and begin a series of choices that will eventually develop into a number of empires that go against God. We'll discuss this more tomorrow on day 10. I'll again paste from the UCG reading program. Some decades after the flood, time enough for Noah's sons to father their own sons and for these grandchildren to grow up, Noah became a husbandman, growing grapes and making wine. Then, when he drank the wine, he became intoxicated and fell asleep in his tent, whereupon, the Bible records, his nakedness was uncovered. This expression is used throughout Leviticus 18 to denote sexual relations. When Noah's son Ham discovered him, he told his brothers, who then covered their father. When Noah awoke, he learned of what happened and called forth a curse upon Ham's youngest son, Canaan. Why? Why should Canaan be cursed? Verse 24 states that Noah knew what his younger son had done to him. This is often interpreted to mean that Noah knew what his, Noah's, younger son, Ham, had done to him. Yet if Ham himself were guilty of whatever wrong had been committed, we might assume that Noah would have cursed him personally or, if his offspring were to be cursed, that it would apply to all his offspring or perhaps the eldest in his family rather than just Ham's youngest son Canaan and those who would spring from him. So the most likely scenario is that Canaan himself had committed the wrong, apparently some sexual sin against Noah while Noah was intoxicated, which Ham discovered. Thus verse 24 should probably be understood to read that Noah knew what his, Ham's, younger son, Canaan, had done to him, particularly if we consider verse 23 as parenthetical. End.